Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So it is Columbus Day, and on this holiday, we thought we'd listen back to a favorite Radio Boston interview with humorist and Brookline native John Hodgman. And why is he a favorite? Well, he knows that J.P. Morgan had the power to levitate and that all currency will one day be replaced with beef jerky. He also knew that the world was going to end on December 21st, 2012, which he wrote about in great detail in his 2011 compendium of world knowledge titled That Is All.
Well, as we know, the world didn't end in 2012, but it signaled a new beginning for comedian John Hodgman. As he told us last year, he's moving away from the absurd and towards more reality-based comedy.
You know, when you predict the end of the world, even as a joke, you start to get into the mentality that you don't have to do your homework anymore. It's like the ultimate snow day. And I honestly ended 2012 without laying a single brick in the wall of my professional career. And I started 2013 having developed essentially a stand-up comedy routine that now had to be completely retired and having to decide what I was going to do with the rest of my life now that the world didn't end. And in many ways, now that I have reached the limits of my fake knowledge and my compendium of amazing, fascinating trivia that was all made up by me is over, I'm having to forge a new way in life. The fact is, the world ends for all of us a couple of times in our lifetimes where we have to basically start over.
So you are dealing with made-up knowledge. Are you now, are you moving into the territory of real knowledge?
Yeah, well, I after playing a role for so long as the resident expert on The Daily Show, as a pompous professional know-it-all, and then as a deranged millionaire, it's nice to be just John Hodgman. I mean, I'm pretty deranged as myself, and so the style of stories that I've been telling are much more straightforward and personal stories about my life as an accidental minor television personality and traveling performer, even as a parent to two human children, something I've never spoken about before in public. And honestly, to protect my children's privacy, I when I tell stories about them, I pretend that I'm telling stories about my cats.
I want to ask you about some other Massachusetts-related issues that you talk about on your Judge John Hodgman podcast. You recently performed your rendition of a song that has sparked a lot of debate here in Massachusetts. First, let's listen to a bit of the original. This is Road Runner by the Modern Lovers.
I'm in love with Massachusetts.
All right, so there's the song. Now, here's your take on that song from your podcast.
I'm in love with Massachusetts. And the neon when it's cold outside, and the highway when it's late at night, got the podcast on. I'm like Judge John Hodgman.
Okay. You know, I'm just going to say about your singing ability, it's really good you're a comedian. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, look, that was in part my homage to the late lamented Lou Reed in my talk singing.
I see.
But well, here's the thing. This is the new John Hodgman, the sincere, not totally fakey John Hodgman. I am in love with Massachusetts. I'm from Brookline. I live in Brooklyn because it was the closest sounding town to Brookline that I could move into. And my family and I live part-time in Franklin County in the Pioneer Valley of Western Massachusetts. We spend probably 12 to 15 weeks there every year, and we love it there. Mm. And that song, Roadrunner, is just one of the greatest songs. And I don't even remember why I brought it up on the podcast, but that's when a listener named Tony contacted me and said, there's this huge controversy going on where some state reps are trying to make this the official rock song of the Commonwealth, and some others want it to be Dream On by Aerosmith.
Yeah, right. And you, in fact, wrote, and we've got Roadrunner playing underneath there, you actually wrote and really expressed your support that this song be made the official song of Massachusetts. And you wrote, Roadrunner is woven as deeply into the cultural landscape of Massachusetts as the Turnpike itself. And you went on from there.
Yeah, this is the thing. It is intrinsically a great song. It is intrinsically a great Massachusetts song. It is a song that connects the midnight ride of Paul Revere to every teenager who gets his or her first driver's license and is out late at night on the roads discovering the true Freedom Trail. And the beautiful thing about this song is that it is a road song, but it's not about driving away from Massachusetts. It's a song that is literally in love with Massachusetts. And it just seems to me that it's a zero-brainer. Look, I like Aerosmith. My wife also spent some time growing up here. She sold fish to Steven Tyler at Whole Foods when it was Bread and Circus in Brookline. She said he was a great guy. I'm sure he's terrific. But this is the song.
You come back to Massachusetts a bunch in your comedy. In a recent episode of the Judge John Hodgman podcast, you were talking to a couple in San Francisco who's trying to figure out where to live, whether to come back to Western Mass, where they're from, or to Los Angeles. And here's the advice you gave them about Massachusetts.
What all Massachusettsians are nostalgic for is misery. Massachusetts is a state, or I should say commonwealth, full of miserable people who endure hardship four seasons out of the year, all for one mythical weekend that is going to be nice. And usually it's just either the Saturday afternoon or the Sunday morning, and then it gets horrible again.
I think what I like best about that clip is the word Massachusettsians. First time I've heard that.
What would you say, Massachusettsites?
Bay Staters, probably.
Bay Staters.
You know, because there is no adjective that really makes sense, but
right,
it's a good one.
Of the great bay leaf drying industry of Massachusetts of yore. There is another term for Massachusettsites, which starts with Mass and ends with another word.
Right, of course.
Tremendously emblematic of what Massachusetts is all about. I mean, this is a commonwealth of winters. Do you know what I mean? Or we used to have winters before global warming, but you know, I grew up among winters that really tested your sanity.
Yeah.
And that is of course the fuel behind Yankee ingenuity. It was every winter you would go into your house and you would be by yourself and you would work on your crafts and you would turn your back to your neighbors and so come to fear and distrust them, and then eventually things would thaw and you would get to talk to them again. But it ties a line of white hot rage among all Massachusettsians, where there is an edge to the comedy, there is an edge to the affection that we show each other. And it also breeds true affection, I think, among people who lived here in the bay leaf state.
I think you're right, actually, about that. But seriously, I do want to ask you about sort of your comedic style and this connection to Massachusetts or Boston. You told the Boston Globe recently that growing up in Boston really shaped your comedic style. In what way?
Yeah. Well, in two ways. For the first, I would say, 15 years of my life, I was a solitary introvert weirdo only child who went around dressed like Doctor Who, and watched television while drinking a snifter of whole milk. And from there, because of WGBH and because of WBUR, I was inculcated in a long tradition of very dry wits, from Monty Python, not dry, but absurdist wit in the case of Monty Python. Michael Feldman and What Do You Know was syndicated very early on in WBUR, and I remember it changing my brain with the very sort of dry wit, even though he's from the Midwest. These public media brought these people to my door, to my head. And then as I grew older and I kind of came out of my shell, I worked at the Coolidge Corner movie house, so now called the Coolidge Corner Theater, in Coolidge Corner, one of the most influential and important jobs in my life. I wish I could work there still, honestly, where that's a place where, you know, your sense of humor is something that is built by stealing from the people around you, the smarter, funnier people in your workplace. And particularly if you're in a job where you are just ripping tickets and selling popcorn all day, there's a long time to develop comedic repartee, running jokes and in-jokes.
John, let me go back to Judge John Hodgman, and I want to hear a little more about the podcast, because it's a great premise. You take an everyday problem or debate between two people. It could be a question like, should my boyfriend have to shower more often? And then you decide who wins the debate. So how do you choose the cases that
I think the boyfriend should shower more often.
Yeah.
Was that a hypothetical? Yeah, if that's a question at all, then the answer is shower more often.
All right, well, I'm glad we
settled
that. It's
sort of like when you say, I'm in charge, that means you're not in charge. If it comes up at all, take more showers.
Right.
I owe the Judge John Hodgman concept to my co-host and bailiff, Jesse Thorne, who is the producer of the Maximum Fun Network of podcasts, where the show is hosted. He had suggested it originally as a segment for a different podcast, and then we built it up into its own podcast. And I have loved it, because one of the great pleasures I have in my life is talking to people on the road when I've done comedy tours or book tours, and getting to know, you know, just people all over the world, and telling them how to live and who's wrong and who's right. Yeah. I'm a naturally judgmental person, and I'm usually correct most of the time.
So what are the criteria for a good Judge John Hodgman case? I mean, what makes it into your judgment zone, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
That is the name of our court, actually, the judgment zone. Welcome to the judgment zone. The answer is very plain. It's sincerity. Mm. I mean, one of the reasons that I wanted to do Judge John Hodgman was to start being able to speak in public basically as myself, off the cuff, just responding as I would, not sort of creating elaborate in-jokes or wearing a mask. And indeed, I really wanted to engage with the people who had these conflicts in a sincere way, and I needed them to be sincere too. Mm. So if it's my boyfriend doesn't shower enough, or my wife likes to fall asleep to a box fan and it's driving me crazy, or even on down to some of the weird, more hypothetical ones where two friends have had a long-running argument about whether or not a gun qualifies as a robot. Those guys argued that case so sincerely on both sides. They really believed it. The only thing I will not deal with are joke disputes where people are just winding me up or in order to make some jokes. Truly, I just want people to really have a fight.
Comedian John Hodgman will be coming back to Massachusetts next month, performing his one-man show, I Stole Your Dad, at the Academy of Music Theater in Northampton.
I'm in love with Massachusetts.
And by the way, that bill to make Roadrunner by the Modern Lovers the official rock song of Massachusetts, well, it's still languishing at the State House.